This is episode 237, and my Martin cost me $3 a gig.
I love that.
lots of technical difficulties tonight, coming to you from the time in between edits. It's the tone control.
We'll see how much I can clean it up. Good luck.
It'll be fine.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh my gosh, Derek, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How's your ear?
My ear is better.
Good.
I believe that my ear is basically all the way healed. It has been It has been 9 days, I think, since I've heard a wrong pitch in the left side.
Okay.
And I felt like it was still a little dull for a while, but I'm either getting used to it and my brain's rebalancing or that's gone away. So probably it's gone away and I'm probably okay. So yeah.
Sweet. Glad to hear it.
It's been good. Caught up on some music work. Mixed some songs. Actually Friday I was mixing a song and it was one of those situations where I've heard some professionals say this before, that mixes are not completed. They are simply abandoned. And this is the sentiment in a lot of creative industries, I think. Like, you work on something until you eventually just convince yourself you can't work on it anymore, you can't perfect it anymore, and you have to let it go, even though it's never really perfect. I don't know which side of the argument that phrase is really falling on, but I've always taken it as, like, you accept that this is kind of an encapsulation in a moment in time, and it's not
like something maybe next time, if you continue, it might be better, but that's that moment in time, and...
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe if you continue, you could have made it better, but also, like, what are you doing? Like, you need to just make it something instead of just, it's like the perfect is the enemy of the good is also wrapped up.
I was just going to say that. We say that at work all the time. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. So, yeah, okay. I think I agree with that.
Yeah, so I had a day like that where I was, like, fed up and, like, I felt like I wasn't doing a very good job, and then in the last like hour of the day, it kind of all came together and it left me feeling unsure. Like, did it really all come together? but the client was super happy with it and had no notes. So from a certain perspective, even if I don't think I did an awesome job, I think I did a good job. But even, you know, without that, it's like at the end of the day, if the client's actually really happy, then that is my job. So I guess it's
true.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have days at work where it's like, I'm not really doing anything today, or people are praising me for this thing that I found to be very easy. And I am the kind of person where I immediately jump to, like, this is not a big deal. It was very easy. Don't feel like this is, and people have tried to, like, knock that out of me.
Yeah. You downplay
by saying, yeah. And just sort of like, you know, no, like, a lot of people don't understand this stuff. It is really helpful. And then somebody I heard somewhere on a podcast or something, like, don't convince yourself that your job is easy. Convince yourself that you're good at your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, that's a flipping of a bit that I try to remember a lot, and it's hard. It's not an easy thing to remember all the time, but, like, no, this was easy because I'm good at my job.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those a little, like, yeah, it could be better, but also, like, I have these days where it's like you said, you feel like you're not doing a good job, but to everyone else, it's like, wow, great job.
Yeah. So it's, and you don't want to lose it either, because, like, I know it's that striving for being better that has made me at least as good as I am, even if I don't think it's that great on that day. Right. And it's all of that. And it's that sentiment that you're saying about, like, you know, somebody says you just do this amazing thing that you thought was easy. But some of the thinking around that I've codified in when I'm talking to new clients and trying to explain my philosophy and, like, stuff like why I don't charge by the hour when a lot of people still do, it, you know, comes down to, like, well, because sometimes I do something that takes 1 hour, but that's not the value of the thing that I do. And it would be, like, totally wrong for me to value it that way. Like, I actually the thing that I'm doing is valued much higher. This is sort of like, if you talk here, like really good mastering engineers will many times encounter something where the job of mastering is essentially doing nothing, but they listened to it and they confirmed that nothing was the right move. And that took decades.
I was just going to say, like, that takes thousands of hours to only take 1 hour.
Right. And so that's the thing. That's the thing that comes down to, right? And it's like, well, I don't charge for the hour. I think you have a
visitor back there, Justin.
Oh, goodness. All right. Break time.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Sometimes it's hard to get to sleep.
Dude, you know, I just started taking melatonin.
Uh-huh. My dog takes that. I'm not trying to make fun of you, but honestly, I got some for him because he's so worked up about thunderstorms, and I'm like, you know what? Take the edge off, man. Yeah, absolutely.
It helped me just to fall asleep, and then I often wake up in the night, and it helps me get back to sleep. Mm. But they're right about the dreams. Like it's not great. Well, it's not bad, but it's like, oh, dreams are a different game now. With melatonin.
So are they like a lot more intense?
I used to really not be a dreamer and very, very infrequently. And now they're certainly more regular, you know, many nights a week. And it's, they're stronger. So one of the more common side effects is like actual like severe nightmares. So I'm fortunate I'm not going in that direction. But it's just like, we went from no dreams to like, ooh, what a weird dream, you know? So
wow. That's interesting. You know how long you can know somebody and like that's extremely different from me. I had absolutely no idea that I knew people who like didn't dream or didn't feel like they dream very often because like I don't remember the details of them very often, but like I never don't dream. Hmm. That's very interesting.
But you remember having dreamed.
Like I wake
up. You
just
don't know what it's about.
I very quickly after waking up lose the details of what happened. Like I'll remember them and then it will just, by the time I've been up for just a few minutes, it's like, oh, I had a weird dream, but I honestly can't even remember why I thought it was weird now, but I did 2
minutes
ago. Unless
that happens, unless that happens to me so fast that it makes me think I don't dream, but
because like, how would you know if that was if that was why? Huh?
Yeah, I just never. It's not that I don't ever, but it was just not a frequent dreamer at all. No.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
The mo you know.
That's right. Well,
what were we talking about?
I don't remember. I think I hopefully we largely concluded the thing before kiddo. You know, when she has trouble sleeping, it's usually because we have some kind of disagreement shortly around bedtime. And we had a little disagreement about whether or not she was allowed to get up after. It was after the time when she's prescribed to not be supposed to be getting up for just nonsense that isn't like an actual need. And she wasn't taking no for an answer. But unfortunately, that doesn't really work out. So she eventually, now she's deciding that she's just upset about the way we left things. And I think that's kind of why she was getting up.
That's fair. And that is the time one realizes those things.
Yeah. And it's like, she wants to get up and get an extra hug. She's not really allowed to because she's not supposed to be getting up. But at the same time, I'm supposed to be like this compassionate response figure
That is the response you would like from her, but you wanted it an hour ago or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Now that it's separate, I think I'm within the correct like parenting paradigm that we've established here to like, she got her hug now, but even though now she's still technically like nuts, but I get it. And I don't,
but she's not out here trying to like, I know how to break the rules the right way. Yeah. She's not playing you.
I think she sincerely like, she has this feeling of like, oh, we had an argument and I don't like that. And it's so I was like, okay, yeah, you know, that's okay to we repair, and how do I fall asleep? Well, once you're thinking too hard about falling asleep, that's really hard. My answer, my technique is always the same. You know what, girl? Don't even try. Plan your day tomorrow. It works every time.
Yeah.
So anyway, how's people at your house?
Getting better. Ear infections are on the way out. Yeah. And we all piled in the car and hit the road this weekend for Easter travels and stuff. And it was good. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this feeling of like packing up the family and the dogs and the baby and all the stuff and all the things and more of the stuff. It feels like it requires an act of God to get you out the door.
Yeah. It's the amount of lead time you require is always
on everything.
However long it takes plus 30.
Yes. And so then we have a Thule bubble storage thing for the car. Thursday after work, I'm throwing that up on the roof, tightening it down, doing the thing because we're packing up. We're leaving midday Friday. And I'm standing up there on the rear tire to like reach up into the bubble to tighten stuff down. And on my while I'm up there, just looking around, tightening a bolt, I spot what looks like a very large rock in my tire, like in the tread, or rather in the shoulder, sorry. It is not a rock. It is a screw. And in the shoulder, which means totally not repairable. And I went to a place and confirmed this. And they were like, we can't fix that.
So
no tire pressure monitor thing in the car yet. But who knows how long it's been there? Who knows if it's so all the way through or not?
It like punctured. It either didn't go through or it punctured and perfectly sealed. Seems unlikely.
Or it was very fresh and hadn't triggered the sensor yet. So I had to go buy new tires on Thursday.
Shit.
Just like a cool $1,000.
Yeah.
Boom. Gone. Got them on the car in like 45 minutes though. And then I was off like nothing ever happened. It was amazing. But you know, and it was, I knew I needed them this year based on like my inspection results from last year and stuff. Like I knew it was coming and we got a lot of time out of the factory tires on the car, but I was still just like, oh, I was not really not ready to spend an extra $909 today. Like with very little research or notice or just like heads up.
Notice is the hard part stuff like that. Yeah.
And I was just like I don't have a choice now. So I just have to be okay with it.
Yep. Shit.
So I have brand new tires. Because I wasn't about to go on like a multi-day road trip and like hours in the car at highway speeds wondering about this screw in my tire.
Just turn, you know what I mean? Take the screw out, then take off.
That's what I was thinking. Like, what if, but if I take it out, like, am I even going to be able to get problem. To it? Yeah. Well, it's an old Simpsons bit where like Bart gets a rock thrown at him and it gets stuck in his head. And he's like, oh my God, take it out. And somebody takes it out and then he starts like spewing blood.
Put it back in.
Put it in. Yeah. Anyway, so it's been other than that, like it's fine. Like we could afford the tires. It's not that kind of situation, but it's still just like, oh, damn it. Yeah. So Jack's doing better. Beth's doing better. I'm doing better. We're finally on this upswing. We had the windows open today. It was fucking 65 degrees here today. And it feels like, oh, you know, we are out of the dark times a little bit.
Right. Yeah, we've had some beautiful weather here. I had to start mowing though, which drives me nuts.
Oh, we're not even close to that.
I hate the mowing of the lawn. And this season in Ohio, it comes on so strong. The first like month and a half of grass growing, when you see the first blades start to move, it's like I almost have to mow twice a week for the beginning. Yeah. They go so fast and hard for a while. And that's going on grass, in the backyard right now.
Ugh. Grass grows best with warm days and cool nights, which is this time of year and in the fall. Yeah. So
see, here we are.
Anyway, let's talk about guitar stuff.
Let's talk about a little bit of guitar stuff, and let's do one of these.
Thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring the Tone Control. Visit pedalgenie.com and start your wish list today.
So here's what I'm thinking. Maybe we... April 1st happened in between these episodes, and maybe we take those things and kind of shove them off to the end of the podcast.
Sure.
So that we decide how much time we actually want to spend talking about that nonsense.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff there that we could fill with, but we tend to not need filler. So
I definitely want to talk about the JHS one because I fell for it really bad.
So we'll decide if we're going to do one or if we're going to do like three or 10. Yeah. Quick touch on a few more. So
anyway.
Okay, here, I got your thing up.
Yeah, so it's new gear day here at Tone Control HQ, Tone Control North. I picked up.
I like that.
What, Tone Control North?
Tone Control North. Yeah, I dig that.
I picked up the Hologram Microcosm, and I got the special edition black color option,
so limited run one kind that's of pictured thing. Here, yeah.
No, it's not. It's same, totally the same thing, but it's just in a black enclosure. Everything else is the same, and the tops of the knobs are black, I guess, not gray. Anyway, this pedal has been on my list of things of like, what if I just picked up a Microcosm? What if I had one of those? Like, what if, wouldn't that be weird? Like, what if I did that? And so I've been thinking about that for a long time. And I said to myself and others, boy, if they ever put out a black version of that, I'd be all over it. And sure enough, they did. And
set yourself up these goals and then they become achieved.
Yeah. And so this is why I sold a handful of pedals recently to put towards this, which worked out great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, just like looking at it quickly, it looks like we've got combo of like loopers and delay, but also some other subtler time effect things like, I don't know what granules means, but it strikes me as there's a lot of stuff going on here.
There's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm looking at it here on my desk. It's got four categories of sounds. Within those, there's like three subcategories and then four presets for each of those three. So Micro Loop has the mosaic sound, sequence, and glide. And then that, see the four LEDs over the word hologram in the center? Yeah. That tells you which bank you're in, A, B, C, or D. And so this would be set, the one in the picture here is set to mosaic option A. And if I turn the wheel,
That's separated is like rotary encoder kind of thing.
Yes. And that goes like, it'll scroll through, you know, all four options for each sound. And so that results in, with user presets, 44 different effects in this thing.
All right.
And it's all MIDI recallable and all that garbage. But this is more like a weird thing that makes music that is just happens to be in a guitar pedal form factor.
Okay. Like, all right.
So it is in itself more like an instrument than any other pedal I have. Like, you have to feed it sound somehow. But once you're there, sky's the limit, you know?
You start feeding it, it's like self-replicating molecules. Yeah.
So it's got some very cool stuff like wave shape options. There's a knob called activity, which is just how active the pedal is. There's a filter on it, a low pass filter, built-in reverb. It's nuts. So I'm going to turn it on and we're going to give it some notes.
Okay.
So I'm just on this one that's pictured here, mosaic setting A. So it's micro looping, meaning it's taking my sound and slicing it and playing it back at a random interval. You hear all that?
Yeah, and like with pitch changes and stuff too.
Yes.
Oop, just played something else.
Yeah. So if I bring the mix up a little bit. Increase the speed here. So it's doing all this kind of unpredictable. You can set it so it is repeatable, but otherwise it is random. Which means every time you turn the pedal on, it does something different. Mm-hmm. But it's very musical and usable. It's very beautiful.
I mean, this is really falling into that category of like you have a moment, right? And it's like if you're playing with this, it's like that's what happened then. If you're recording with this, especially, that's you know, let's see what we get, you know.
So I'm going to increase the activity all the way up. And change the wave shape to square wave. I can add a little reverb. filter it out. So,
and then you've got these other, I see these other things kind of at the bottom where you could probably add other, I'm seeing like record, play, dub, adding new layers, and then on the other side, stop, erase, hold.
Yeah, so, there's a phrase looper.
Ways of guiding it.
Yeah, so the phrase looper is more is like any regular effects looper you could think of. You play a passage and then it plays it back to you.
Yeah.
And then you can choose if the effects that are affecting that loop are before or after. You can play the loop in forward and reverse. So if I were to like, which is true for even these regular settings. So now it's going in reverse. Any it's like a reverse delay.
Yeah, they're kind of mirroring back onto you.
Yeah. Now they're forward again. But so now I've clicked the hold button and it will just hold this phrase. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now I can play the pedal more. Change all the stuff while it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You can send it backwards. Push hold again and it turns off. Or it'll play out wherever the repeat stop is set to. Mm-hmm. Like a delay. So that's just like one of the things here, okay?
Right. Sequence, glide. There's a bunch of glitch things.
So sequence is, I'm on sequence setting C. Like, what the fuck is that? And then this is sequence setting A, for example. So you can hear it's still doing the same type of thing, but what it's adding in is different. This is B.
Yeah. Yeah, this has like an LFO. Sequence has kind of an LFO kind of feel to it, randomized sometimes.
Yeah. So you can do cool stuff like you just get down on your board and turn all these knobs and shit and like things get weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pedal. It is truly designed to be played. So if we like, I'll just jump over to granules. This is the haze mode. Reverby.
Yeah, I was gonna say it kind of gives it, it's not a reverb, but it's doing the reverb's job.
It's
What's strum gonna do? That's what I'm interested in.
Here we go. Here's strum. Let me switch this back to forward.
Oh, yeah, this little.
Yeah. If you like decrease the activity. Or versus increased activity. Crazy.
It's funny when it starts to glitch out.
Yeah, so here's a different setting in the strum mode. Adding some octaves.
Yeah.
And what's cool is these four LEDs on the front, the three that are remaining that are not telling you which setting you're in are reacting to the sound it's making and the sound you're making. So you can kind of read it and see like, okay, it's receiving my sound when I... And then as it plays through, like the colors all get like do the weirdness and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't need to spend like a ton of time on this, but here's the pattern multi-delay. Warp multi-delay. Arpeggiator. Oops, here we go.
All right. Okay, I'm on board with that one.
And so then the filter and reverb are independent, so you can add all that stuff to each of these.
Kind of reorganic them.
Yeah. And then interrupt. Oh, here we go. It only goes when you're feeding it signal. You hear that?
It's just like gonna do whatever, but only when it shouldn't.
It just interrupts you. This is the blocks mode. Like, so it's just infinitely fun, right?
Yeah. So, so with this and a mix knob, basically, you're going to create the kind of feel that you're going for. And this is, all, you know, you, well, you could do it like you're saying by playing it. You could also set up something where it's a little bit of just sort of randomized accompaniment for something that, that you know, one of these feels could actually work for.
It's something the randomized deep in the
background, you know, it's like there's a lot of music that I've been listening to lately where there's that sort of strange in the background stuff that is like textural. Mm-hmm. And this is a way, this would be an interesting way to generate some of that sort of interest in something that's otherwise maybe a fairly simple, you know, rhythm or melody part.
Yeah, it's just fun. Like it is the most fun pedal that I have. Mm. Like it's just, it wants to play, this is stupid to say, it wants to play with you. Right, like it wants to do things. Yeah. It wants it. It is made to play with you, but like, it do you see what AI. I mean? Yeah.
Doing a pretty good job of, well, for the most part, I guess it's doing a pretty good job of kind of staying in key. Not that you're playing a lot of extended stuff right now, but it seems to be able to kind of hear or stick to the kinds of things that would tend to be good intervals.
Correct. Yeah. It lets a lot of octaves.
Yeah.
I've looped something and I can go and change which preset it's using too. Mm-hmm. So we're on the mosaic again, but I can bring it down to sequence. And it will will just like take the thing that I played, saved in the loop, and apply it to the new effect. Anyway, I'm going to turn this off now. So that's the microcosm. I didn't mean to just go on and on about that thing, but no, you know, right. It's I think it's clear how like it is really endless.
It's cool.
It's really fun. It's really fun. So I've got it on a board here, most just for at home. It has absolutely no place in my band, but it's just like right. A man, what a good time this thing is. And you can, it brings like looping spacey shit alone in your bedroom to a totally new level. And awesome. Nope, cable's not long enough. Here it is in black. And I think it looks nice. Great.
That looks very, yeah. It's better in black.
It's very imperial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Sweet.
Sweet.
All right. Well, let's, what do you say? What do you say we do? Oops. Yeah, we
forgot
do
something.
Oh, no. All right. Then I'm going to play something.
Play a sound.
What am I going to play? What haven't I? God, I feel like I've played all these.
I feel like you say that every week.
I do. I'm awful. Okay.
Welcome back. Well, you didn't miss anything.
And the strangeness has gone away. My render time is back down where it usually is. Okay, so apparently Discord was misbehaving. So great job, Discord, okay. Whatever update you put out today. Screw you. Okay, so next up, something from Walrus. I feel like we haven't talked about Walrus in quite some time.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. The Fundamental Series.
The Fundamental Series. So this... Walrus. So what happened with Walrus is they realized that a bunch of their pedals weren't as fun as they ought to be. And so they thought, let's just make some that are all just the most fun. And this is the Fundamental Series from Walrus. Isn't that right?
It is. Not to be confused with fund. Like it has nothing to do with funds.
Right. This isn't about money for them. As you can
although
see,
they
by
are
the
pretty
cost
affordable.
They're very affordable. I mean, I just think this isn't a money making venture from them. They're really trying to get away from the need for funds.
What do they call this? A loss leader? Is that the saying? The phrase?
Yeah. They're trying to get you. Okay. Now that's sort of true, though. Do you think that's what's going on here? Because I do not,
but.
No. They're just trying to get you into the brand with. Okay, so truly, they actually mean fundamental, that's how I took it when I saw this. Is like, this is, I mean, didn't Amazon made something right where it was? Like,
I think it's very much their version of the JHS3 series, which is just a $99 option, simple controls. It is the no bells and whistles version of a given effect. So chorus, fuzz, reverb. Drive, like overdrive. What else do they
it's
have?
It's kind of product segmentation. Oop, get out
yeah,
of the face
delay, here. Distortion, phaser, and tremolo. And they are basic, easy to understand effects designed to get great sounds, but be welcoming to new pedal users. I've seen that mentioned, new pedal users language, a lot in their marketing over this, which is true. Walrus Audio is one of those companies that if you're like new to pedals and you're looking at their stuff, it may be overwhelming and confusing. So... this lowers the Walrus Audio barrier to entry, which is great for them. It lowers the pedal world barrier to entry, which is cool, much like the 3 Series or even Boss, honestly. But simplified controls is part of their marketing for this, which I think they mean by basic functionality with no bells and whistles. But sliders? How do we feel about sliders?
Yeah, I mean, right. So... simplified in the sense that they're all the same case.
I mean,
I don't know. I think a slider is from easier to see from far away, maybe, sure, than a knob, you know, where it's like a only circular. Three. Yeah, there are only three, and then there's a switch. So I guess I'll just click on one of these here.
Yeah, so it is truly the same case, just with a different thing inside and a different print on the outside. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I don't know. I mean, part of me wonders if it's like kind of Justin's gone again.
Stupid Discord.
This is the second time we've lost him tonight.
You're struggling, Discord.
He's back.
Okay. Not impressed. Not impressed, Discord. We're just going to pop up the videos quickly, get things situated.
Gonna have a lot to edit out this time, huh?
Yeah, it didn't take long for it to start whining again.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not looking great. Okay. Anyway. So I've zoomed in on the thing here. So,
I mean, so being able to see it from a distance, I guess, is, you know, one case. I don't know. I don't really worry myself with that, I guess. Like, I turn the knobs until I like it, and then it tends to stay where it is on a lot of these types of pedals. Certainly an overdrive or something.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm trying to make an excuse for it when I say that. I'm trying to say, like, what might this be for? But I do think it's a little bit...
It's probably more likely to stand it off from the JHS 3 series.
Yeah, just to
make it seem different. Which are all just three knobs and a switch and a foot switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever, I mean... The design, like sliders, whatever, that's cool. I think those things are going to collect a lot of crud, way more crud than a pot would.
Oh, but, well, that's true. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about that. I hadn't actually considered that, but yeah, the sliders get grimy. Stuff gets in there. It's open.
Yeah. But for $100, if you're like wanting to dabble into pedals and stuff and like not go the Amazon Basics route, I mean, Walrus is, this is obviously going to be a good pedal. I'm not worried about that at all. I don't think, I wouldn't look at any of these and be like, yeah, but is it a good fuzz? I bet it's a good fuzz.
I bet it's fine. Yeah. It's falling under what we were talking about last time about this idea. Like, this could, any one of these could be something that, you know, somebody can make a video of 10 years from now and drive up the cost of, because that's, you know, like, is it a good fuzz? I mean, they all do basic things. There's nothing crazy about what it does that's different from a bunch of other pedals. So it's just about how, you know, who plugs it into what and what song.
Who makes a great record with it.
Right. Yeah. the more important thing. So do they have, so this, okay, but the way this product segment works, right? This is like a getting you into it kind of segmentation of the product. So what about like daisy chained power plugs and things like that? Like, I feel like we should have some package deal stuff that should be sold alongside this. And if they don't, then it's a wasted opportunity. Like, it should come with, they should have a, you know, equivalent of a one spot. Right. Yeah. And then they should also have one of those little things. You should be able to get them all right here.
You're right. Absolutely. They do make power supplies, but they're like regular power supplies. They're like
real ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Walrus, you could just have that idea if you
want. Yeah, I mean, apparently, because what am I going to do about it? Yeah.
So, order now and receive by Thursday.
Yeah, free 2-day shipping.
So, I mean, that's it. That's all I wanted to mention. Yeah. Was like, it's cool to see another, like, affordable. Like, I am out on $300 overdrives. Like, I cannot... I cannot care about that. It's like, I don't care how good it is. I don't have room in my life for $250, $300 overdrives. He said, owning those, I hate it though. Like, I just, you know what I mean? How good can they get, right? It's at a certain point, there's a major diminishing return. And yes, this microcosm was, oh, God damn it.
Asshole Discord.
Okay. Anyway, I was just saying, like, yeah, the Microcosm is an expensive pedal, but like, you heard that thing. If it's not your style, then yeah, it's not worth it. Right. But also, like, dude, it's really endless. There is an end to that $100 overdrive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's very
and
cool.
To that $300 overdrive, I should say. Like, there's a glass ceiling on that too. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We got like 20 minutes here, Justin. What do you want to do? We had a question
plus some takeout time for edits, but yeah.
True. We had a question from Discord we could touch on. We could jump
actually,
to the...
I don't mind that because... So I was obviously saw my folks this weekend because it was Easter. We hung out with them a lot. And one, mm-hmm. my dad asked me, like, what do you do about selling pedals?
Did he really?
He literally just asked me about this. I was like, well, people use reverb. I know Sweetwater was coming up with a marketplace, a competing yeah. marketplace of their own. But I think reverb is generally the thing. So this question, though, is how do you decide when to get rid of gear?
Is that what he's asking, or is he talking like that he wants
no,
to
No, that's
put
not
stuff
what my dad is asking. I think he was okay. thinking about, like, I think he probably has some stuff that doesn't really get much use or... and I conceptually sort of, I interpreted his question and the answer was a bit like, well, I know you, Derek, like you, if you're not using a thing for a while, you'll say, okay, well, let's put this up. And those funds kind of, that value kind of rolls on yeah. and you end up getting something new. And so that's,
yeah.
so Eric says, when it sucks, when do you get rid of a pedal? When it sucks ass or get rid of gear in general. yeah.
But that's my thing. It, like, I would consider, have I used it in the last year?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that number is different. That amount of time is different for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
If you're a very active musician, have I used it in the last 6 months, 3 months? Like, you know, you might want to expand or contract that timeline.
Yeah.
Does and then this like, you know, the simple, it's a kind of a meme now, but does it bring you joy? It's why I kept right. the Gonculator for so long. If you just like having it, then screw it. You don't need a better yeah. reason to keep it.
Or like right? me. So I'm going to say, like, because you said if you're a really active musician, your number might be shorter for how long you have to not have used something before it you think it doesn't hold value for you
or
anymore. Even,
or could be longer.
Well, I was going to say, like, I don't play hardly at all. I have this stuff here. This is like just the pedals that I've kept that get very, very occasional studio use, less and less as the modeling has gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. But sometimes the pedal is the right thing and they do get occasional use, but I have no interest in like whatever value is sitting here.
That's
really
not why
matter
you're
to
keeping
me.
It. Yeah.
Because I'm not, but if there was something that I actually wanted and actually would use, then maybe it would be a little bit different for me, but excuse me. It's not like that. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't not have some pedal because I need to sell or, you know what I mean? Like if there was something that, well, for me, I guess this is a different story, but like if it was going to be useful to the studio, it would be a business expense anyway. So that's
sure,
sort of a
yeah.
stupid comment.
But like with that overdrive back there, that sounds really yeah. awesome. Like it comes out now and then. And are you ever like, oh, so I'm glad I still have that.
I am glad I still have it. It is still very cool. And for the sound that it makes, there's
like
nothing else.
Yeah,
there's nothing else. So I can tell it would be a mistake to get it. You know, and in the conversation I was having with my dad, like some people have guitars that aren't something that they have to keep for their whole lives. Hmm. Right. I was thinking like my dad talks about like, you know, he doesn't have any guitars that aren't great guitars. He doesn't have any guitars that wouldn't be a mistake to get rid of. You know, he had a Martin D35 a long time ago. And under normal circumstances, that's probably a, you shouldn't have gotten rid of that guitar thing, but this particular unit had problems. And
sure.
it wasn't a forever guitar, right? So it depends on the instrument, but like, you know,
there's so many factors.
Other people trade in guitars back and forth a lot, but they're probably not trading in Taylor 914Cs and so on like that, right? Right. right? You know, if you're trading in
You're trading a lot of times. You're trading to get to something like a 914. Yeah. Like you're trading to reach that sort of end game.
Or maybe it's a different story where it is a really expensive high end thing, but it turns out it's not for you. You know, maybe totally you really possible. Didn't like it, and then you'd know right away, right? You'd know like I don't get along with this thing.
Yeah, I think for me it's like the why did I buy this factor a little bit. There's the. Is it getting use? Just straight up. Is it getting use? Combined with when I do use it, how do I feel about it? Just simply, do I go, plug it in and go, oh man, this thing sounds awesome. Or do I go,
is that sparking joy?
Does it sound a little different than I remember? And I don't like that as much as how I remember. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's a personal journey. You know, like you got to figure that out yourself, I think. Another factor for me is the reacquirability of something. If you have a TC Flashback back there, if you got rid of it and you're like, oh shit, like I really want that sound from the TC Flashback, you could get one tomorrow. And that's not going to be an issue at all. And it's going to be the same as that one right there. That's another part of the reason I kept the Gonculator so long is it was rare, or it is rare. And it felt cool to have a rare thing. Mm-hmm. And as the years went on, the what if I want to use it someday excuse really went away because more years went by where I never used it.
Right. You have hard real world examples of how often that might happen.
And I'm at a point now with just life stuff where I can say like, well, if I haven't done it yet, I'm probably not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
On things like that, right?
What has stopped me? Yeah, I have some like that TC Electronic. I mean, there's nothing special about that as a delay, but if somebody was here and it was like, well, I actually struggle to imagine when I would use a delay pedal in the studio because that's an effect I would almost always apply later. But
unless it's like some other guitar thing, or the guy's pedal breaks, or you need something like there's all these other conditions, but you wouldn't keep something over like the big 10 items deep what if list.
Yeah, but it's also not, it's not a Gonculator. It's not something that actually has a lot of value to somebody else. So it's not worth my time or effort to like. That's the other side of. The gear that I have in here is kind of part of a business now. It's like stuff that I might be able to sell for like $40 is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's more fun to have it than to have $40. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't even matter to that on that level. So
that's a good point too. Yeah.
Whereas if I was trying to acquire other pedals and being a conscious adult and not just like spending myself into poverty about it. And I'm thinking about like, well, here's some stuff I don't use. It's better to just roll that value ahead. It would be easy. And then on the other hand, I have a couple of things that are like build your own clone pedals that I also don't get a lot of use out of, but that doesn't really have any value either. It's like,
fun thing that you built.
So it's much more valuable as a bit of nonsense fuzz pedal.
Than it
would be to try to get some value out of it. So,
and like if you use it once on a record for some weird segment that like has this trashy fuzz sound, like that's it right there. It has made its money back. It has shared its value back to you.
I like that example too, because I was like, I'm just saying like, when am I ever going to use a delay pedal? That's an effect I would apply in the box. Well, when I would is if we're trying to do something lo-fi or strange for a little bit part, right? It's that sort of crap where the guitar is set up and we're actually doing the thing. And you know what would sound cool is if this was like, it sounded like super small and broken for a second. And instead of their distortion tone, we use this dumb octave fuzz. And it's like...
yeah, just plug it in real quick. Mean?
And it's like, that's way cooler than trying to make it later in the mix and hoping I can come up with something that sounds cool.
Yeah. Eric in the chat saying a big thing for me is the space for rent thing. So stuff like these pedals are just taking up space in my home and not paying me rent.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
They're not paying me rent. Yeah.
And so like if he says, if I want new things to take up space, it helps to move old things, which is what I do. And, I sold like 5 pedals to fund this, the Microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
So There we go. And I'm having way more fun with this thing than I did.
And you're perfectly happy with that. You know, we do, we have this triangle of it because like Eric is a professional who uses pedals in a completely different manner. You know, like you're directly, I mean, you do get paid, right? Like you're saying, indirectly, I get paid for using my stuff. Like he performs. So you have working pedal boards and it's like, if something's not on, if something's not earning its rent on that pedal board,
it's gonna go.
So you must have, I bet there's sometimes very clear demarcations.
Yeah, like for you with like business stuff, for Eric, I'm sure it's a business type thing sometimes. My Martin costs me $3 a gig.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you could probably literally outline it like that. I mean, there are pieces of gear that I could outline like that. It's usually, they're usually larger purchases in a studio because I'm not dealing that much with pedals, but you know, if I was, or if I started again, then it would come down to that. It was like, how, you know, this is a $400 pedal. It's some, it's this crazy thing. How much use am I going to get out of this? Well, that's the calculation I would be making. Whereas from the perspective of somebody who's not, it's for whom it's not a business expense. It's about, it's about fun. It's about, those moments of like,
it's about fun and like that whole finding your sound aspect of it all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think these are all the things that I loosely consider when trying to sell gear, or if I should sell gear. Doesn't mean that it's always that way. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's some stuff that everybody's got, the stuff that got away. You know, you wish you had this thing, or you wish this thing kind of still worked for you. So I don't know. Yeah, there's a million different factors, and sometimes some of them are more important than others. Mm-hmm. Again, with the Gonculator, just because it's so fresh and I had it for so long, specifically not selling it for many of these reasons. You know, I went years without playing it, and then I went years with forgetting I had it, and so that's kind of the same thing as not having it.
Yeah.
Really? So, you know. Anyway.
Still look at us kind of
rolling in on time. Playing off the Equits. Nice. I really quickly want to pivot at least to the JHS Bat Sim because I'm gonna tag this. Yeah.
I had to write that down. Nice. And write down the other one.
So, April Fool's Day.
All right. So we're about to find out. I theorized if it had something to do with the browser because my system's been behaving. But anyway, we're going to jump over to this and see what we get. So what is this, Derek?
Okay. So for context, I guess JHS put out a thing called the Vulture, which is a battery sag little inline power thing for your pedal board.
Right.
Okay. A lot of pedal power supplies have this, so you can like with fuzzes and things like that, you can starve the voltage and get some cool sounds. Mm-hmm. Here comes April Fool's Day, right? They put out this, which was a Saturday this year. They put out on Friday, the 31st of March, all this, guys, we've got this great new pedal. It's called the Bat Sim. It's a passion project launched over by over a decade of vintage battery collecting and research. Okay. And so I got to tell you, I fell for this so fucking hard. Like, so, and I'm, oh, I love it. Right. So it's a, it looks like the Muffaletta or the Banzai, where it's got this like rotary thing for all these different styles of effects. Yeah. Right. And the selector is different types of batteries and the effects that they have on your pedals and stuff. So there's a vintage Radio Shack. There's like vintage Kodak batteries, vintage EHX batteries, Roland. There's even a USB option to like simulate, you know, and they're like, there's a send and a return. There's the voltage, the capacity of the battery, and the age of the battery all on knobs. And you can like juice it up to 24 volts and stuff. And I'm like, that's probably not great for pedals. No. You can, the capacity,
So you're which is reading like, this and you're thinking 24 volts. Oh, that's a little dangerous. Like you're still kind of on board.
And then, so then there's a video about it and they're like A-B-ing the sounds and stuff. And I'm like, I'm listening within an inch of my life, like so intently focused listening. And I'm like, this is the biggest load of horseshit I've ever seen in my life.
And it was.
Yeah, and it was. And so like they're doing these demos and they did the JHS show thing where it's like the whole production and it was totally deadpan, just like everything else they do. And not thinking of April Fool's Day, because like I should take that level of skepticism into every day, but it was a Friday and you know, I was not really there yet. So fucking hilarious. Like I love it, right? It's super funny. So then it's I go to the website and I'm like, this thing's gonna be like $200 and it's gonna make me even more mad. Like I'm messaging people, can you get a load of this garbage? Like I cannot believe, you know. And you know, for context again, there's that battery starve thing that they put out. And Josh has kind of been casually mentioning batteries over the last little while.
So
right?
It's a long con.
Yeah, it's a long con. And maybe it's a coincidence that he's been mentioning them, but he's talking about how like new batteries are bigger and they don't fit in these old vintage pedals that he has. So he's got to keep vintage batteries around so they work. And like
he's setting it up. That's awesome.
And so I just was like, absolutely busted by this thing. And so then you go to the website and I'm like, all right, well, at least it's only $100.
Yeah.
Right. And I click add to cart or something like that. And it brings you to this like JHS pedals Batsim t-shirt pre-order. It says it's a battery and it says, I believe in magic. Right on the page. The Batsim is a product of jest, you know, and it's just this, like, oh,
they got to like, just tell you at that point.
Yeah. Man, but they're like, you know, what makes John Mayer's tone so great is that he uses these vintage Rayovac batteries in the Tube Screamer TS-10. You know, like it's like you can get a TS-10 and it's going to sound great, but it's not going to be like his because he's using these like vintage Kodak batteries with like the, and he's like getting into the chemistry of the batteries and like the type of stuff that's in them. And it was the full send, fully sold on it. And I was so mad.
And then it turns out
it's fake, and I could not stop laughing like how badly I fell for it because it seems so in line with what they would do.
Yeah, it does, and there's a little bit too, the sag, like the sag is real.
Yeah,
in the case of a lot of pedals, it's
And then it popped up in my feeds. Other guitar YouTubers are talking about it. This is the biggest thing to hit the guitar industry in decades. Like, fuck off. It is not. This is so.
He had a lot of buy-in.
This is absolute the biggest load of cork sniffing horse. Oh, it's fake. Ooh. And I have nothing to say. I can't even be like, well, whatever. It's stupid. Like, they got me good and I'm here for it.
They nailed it. Yeah. It's funny. That's really clever.
Yeah.
I like the render.
I thought you'd like that one.
I like the whole thing. It's really, it's good.
It's not a render. Like, it's a real thing. They had the box built in screen printed one.
Oh, because
they used
in a video. Yeah, you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's people walking around like on YouTube, like this thing, this JHS Batsim, like waving it around.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. So the only one we just to kind of quickly like, tag it. The only one I think I even saw that was guitar related was from Voodoo Labs. And it made me like, I feel like I had a memory of this. Like this might've been a redo, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But it was,
I didn't see this and I'm just pulling it up. This is
this
awesome.
One?
No.
So, what they do is it's a pedal, it's a plugin. So it's this plugin here. So they've got it pictured in Pro Tools. It is the Pedal Power 3 Plus plugin, right? So this is for providing, because Voodoo Labs makes the power supplies, for providing really good solid power that Voodoo Labs is known for to your plugins, inside your DAW. So, it's fine. It didn't get me. I don't know if it got anybody. I honestly feel like they might have redone this from years past.
I don't remember.
No, but, like, okay.
That's funny too. Like
Voodoo
that's,
has done something in the past. They've done an April Fool's gig before. I think that I might just be mixing it up with that. But yeah, it's, you know, like, and I mean, this is cheap, right? They just made a render of
course.
It looks like a Pro Tools plugin, and
that's really
imagine,
funny.
Imagine you've got to make your plugin sound better because you got this other plugin. Yep. It kind of, it brings me back to all these, there's a bunch of plugins that are like console summing simulators and stuff, which is not literally possible in DAWs, right? Unless it was built into the DAW itself, right? But instead what we're doing is just applying a little bit of saturation and stuff like that, that they model, maybe an EQ shift of some kind and things like that across all the channels, and the total of all of those small microscopic changes really does, you know, you put them across 30 channels and then mute them all at the same time, you hear a big difference.
Sure.
Because it's sincerely doing a very small thing to each thing. It's like in that vein where what they claim to be doing is technically not possible, but technically they're doing something. This would be like that. It's like what they claim to do is nonsense, but on the other hand, it's sort of like pretending to be like this voltage sag thing.
They're doing the nonsense right. Made. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun.
So it's kind of fun. There's we don't need to keep going because we're at an hour already. But I looked up a list of other guitar gags, but we didn't see any of them, and it's not that much fun.
So I think it's because it was a Saturday. Like I'm generally off the internet on the weekends just by nature of everything. So I'm not sitting at a desk.
It was easier to avoid them than it would have been on a weekday for sure. For sure. So
yeah, dude. Thing of the week.
Thing of the week. Okay, why don't you go?
Okay.
What do you got? Just
my
the
thing
concept
is,
of pocket knives. Just the idea of them, man.
Well, sort of. Like I've carried a pocket knife for a long time. And I've two new ones. Oh, I'm getting into like the details of what makes a good pocket knife and what I like in a pocket knife and stuff. And I've carried one for a long time. I'm not here to like sell anybody on the concept, I guess, but like if you're a pocket knife person, there's more out there than like Swiss Army knives. So I got these are pretty affordable. This is a Civivi Elementum and a Civivi Baby Banter, because the Banter is made by a different manufacturer. That's like the parent company to this. And then they make the baby version that's smaller. So I don't really have a lot of good light actually. This might do for now. So this is a little tiny, small baby pocket knife, which is cool. This is like, has some like grippies, so you can kind of get a full forefinger grip on it. And it's just a cool size.
Yeah.
And I'm just into that size. And it fits in the fifth pocket in some jeans, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super lightweight. It's like it's not spring loaded, but there's like ceramic bearings in here. So it like flips really nice.
How does that feel, even though there's not
really
a spring
satisfying?
In it?
Yeah. And then I also got these are among the more affordable brands and stuff, but the quality's outstanding. So
yeah,
it's not that they're cheap, but anyway. So this is another from the same brand. This is like a much bigger. It's got this. You see this little tab?
Yeah.
I had not seen, this is called a flipper, and I had not seen this opening mechanism until I started kind of getting into this more recently. There's no thumb studs on this one. Like this little one has the thumb studs to flip it.
That's what I'm used to on a knife that I have.
So this has, you just flip this thing back here. Make sure I'm like in the frame.
Yeah.
And it just zips right open.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I'm really into it. They're really lightweight. And
I like that just black steel.
It's cool, right? And then like
they have going on.
People are like into the types of steel, and I don't know a lot about that stuff or really anything about that stuff. But yeah, the black is cool. It's like a stonewash finish. Just rad shit, you know? And I these are like $50 a piece or so, which like, you know.
Yeah.
But I do carry a pocket knife every day. Now I get some variety, which is nice. And I will say, I've regretted not having one way more than I have regretted having one on me.
Sure.
For various things.
I mean, you know,
it's a tool. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a tool that ends up getting used.
That's the only reason I have it. I'm not out here one of those people that's like for protection. That is not like I bring it because, like, what if there's cake, you know? And like, what if
there's cake? What if there's something that needs to be opened, like a letter? God damn it.
Like, well, that, but like, I don't know about you, but I order a lot more on Amazon now, thanks to the pandemic, than I ever did. And just other stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I just need to like scrape stuff or open stuff or poke stuff. I don't know.
Now,
it's just,
a knife is not the best tool for everything. Now, I have
It is not a pry tool.
I was about to tell a very bad story about a bad thing that I did because the tip of, I have a knife that's decent. It was a good enough knife that you could sharpen it, and I kept it going for years until one day I tried to pry something with it because I didn't feel like going to get a screwdriver, which technically this would have been the use, a flat screwdriver would have been the right tool for this particular quick little nonsense job that you didn't need a real tool for. But instead I broke the very tip off of my otherwise pretty nice knife. So whatever, it still cuts open Amazon boxes, but it annoys me, the thought of it. So
so like that's mostly why I have it. And just as part of my like everyday carry thing, I use it a lot. I use it every day, basically, like quite literally. And so why not have one that's kind of nice? So
Right
and what on. If there's cake? What if and I need to cut a donut in half?
What if there's cake? So I'll, something's happening.
You know what was the wrong tool for the job? Justin. Because he's a tool.
Yeah, well, I fucked up. So, okay, I'll give you one. So, and I don't know if people care about this, but recently, in the last few weeks, there was a big hullabaloo about Waves, the plugin manufacturer that's, you know, more than 20 years old now. Like, kind of, they were kind of like the original. They were most people who got into this at some point. Waves was the first plugins they ever had. They really were kind of the first plugins in general at all when that sort of thing started to happen. And there are people with decades long histories of owning licenses for Waves plugins, and they've built up a massive catalog of hundreds of plugins. But what happened was, I actually got, some people, including me, were in a little bit of a loop because there was a couple of retailers that accidentally, I guess, sort of pre-leaked some of this info, but we were told that Waves was going to not be selling perpetual licenses anymore on a certain day. And it was, I think it was March 28 or March 23 or something. Anyway, I don't know. But it was on a certain day, and it was like, These were sort of third party sellers that would resell a license, or not resell, but they were anyway.
Like you can buy a plugin from Sweetwater.
Yes, and you'll get sort of a so it was like make sure you've registered any of your purchases before this date, otherwise it won't work. Was kind of the notice, and I guess they were kind of allowed to send that because you could understand if somebody purchased something and then couldn't register it, and they because Waves didn't give any pre notice whatsoever. It was just one day they said, we are 100% subscription only now. And the way that Waves used to work is you would buy your plugin licenses. You could buy them in bundles or you could buy them individually. They would routinely go on sale and the prices would go up and down for different time periods. But you'd have like, these are the licenses you own. Whenever you buy it, you get a year's worth of updates and support for that plugin. So every plugin purchase has a date. And then they would sell this thing, WUP, Waves Update Plan. And it was sort of a yearly thing that you could do to sort of re-up your support. And that, you know, is kind of not needed until there's some kind of big update. So Waves is occasionally updated to make sure their stuff was staying current with new macOS versions or whatever. Sure. And also they would update their own thing with occasionally with new features. A bunch of the old ones at some point got a facelift and some new features, and they're just bringing them current with new plugin systems and VST3 versus VST2 and stuff like that. So you occasionally, you know, if you use it all the time, you have reason to do your well. Anyway, it was calculated based on how many plugins you had. There was also a maximum value that it could get to in the low 300s kind of range. You'd never be paying more than that per year, even if you had like just a ton of plugins. And on top of all that, which seems perfectly reasonable for a developer who's maintaining things that you need for your work, you know, you need to have them always working. Every dollar you spend on your update plan, you get a voucher for buying new plugins. So technically, if you spend that voucher on plugins, your WUP was free. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of an unbelievable deal, and everybody was quite happy with it. So here's the thing.
That sounds great.
They go totally subscription-based. And it doesn't mean that I don't own my licenses anymore, but they're not selling anymore, and they're not selling Waves Update Plan anymore.
Yeah, I was going to ask what happens to those all those people with the libraries of plugins.
They said those libraries, you know, they'll continue to work as they do, but you don't get any new versions unless you buy into the subscription.
So you have to rebuy something you already have in order for it to be supported.
Well, but you kind of. But here's the thing. The subscription comes in two flavors. Basically, you can buy half the Waves plugins, which they've picked out the half that they want to sell as the smaller plan, or the full plan, which is 100% of all Waves plugins. And it's like something like $115 a year or $250 a year. Now that is, for people who have a lot of Waves plugins, the full bundle is actually less per year than their WUP used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from that perspective, it's a good deal. But do you have all of Waves plugins? Probably not. Do you want them? I don't know. So this gets into be this funny thing. Like, I love the Waves plugins that I have, but I would say approaching something like half of their plugin catalog now is this thing that I have like a philosophical disagreement with. It's totally not up my alley. And it's like stuff that's based on this famous person or this DJ this mixer. And it's the so-and-so signature collection. And it's full of presets that they made up that probably say snare drum on them, which is like, no, what are you talking about? There's no snare drum preset. You got to listen to it. So anyway, and most of them are not, they're not anything I would touch, but they're probably cool for somebody who's a producer, but not an engineer, or they're just getting into it. And maybe if you kind of start and you can make cool music without knowing everything I know. I'm not that egotistical that I don't believe that. Right. So
yeah,
I think subscriptions are more appealing to sort of a bit of a younger crowd. And maybe just because they don't already have perpetual licenses for things, you know, because like
audience, this customer base of people over the last 20 odd years that you're just kind of leaving. And an even smaller percentage of that are the ones that have the whole library, and this is a better deal for them. But I have a feeling the vast majority of their customers don't have everything that they make.
Right. And For a certain type of person, that's a pretty damn good deal. If you want the whole catalog, it's a really good deal. And first, maybe you do. I don't know very many, like people like me don't definitely, but you know, if you are into that kind of the signature series, whatever thing, they're also including this like network of presets that are all going to be shared, and they're going to be adding new stuff to the database all the time, and artists are participating in it, and it's they're sort of tying the word AI into it somehow, which is probably just a search algorithm, and it's really kind of sticky and gross. But all of this goes down, and they
could do all that without this, though.
Yeah,
if you could do the whole network of things to share without subscription.
I have my problem with subscription has, and for a bunch of different companies that I do business with, has traditionally been like, it's not that it's that bad a deal sometimes, but it's usually on the edge. And the thing that they're throwing in to as a value add that makes it seem like what a great deal is stuff that I absolutely couldn't care less about. Mm-hmm. You know, like Pro Tools going subscription, you know, they include a bunch of like, and you get all these extra plugins for free, and you get all these loops and samples and stuff that I never install or touch. So I don't care. And I wish there was a segmented product right below that where it's like, can I pay a little less for not having that, you know? So I was like looking at this going, well, I guess I'm just between now and when my Waves plugins stop working, figuring out how to replace them. Because that's sort of what I'm looking at. You know, when I finally update my OS and they don't work anymore, I better have a replacement lined up for these things I care about. And the internet erupted. My whole YouTube feed was full of engineers commentating on Waves.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, there's a few legitimate gripes besides just whether you would want to be involved in this like subscription thing. But like, I have a couple of plugins that I have multiple licenses for because I do want to run them on two machines concurrently. And mm-hmm. I have a few causes for that. And there's plenty of people who do that. And it's not just a matter of, well, just stick your license on a USB stick and move it. I do that for my plugins too, but I have a couple of dupes on purpose. There's no dupes in this new system and stuff like that. So it takes them something like 4 days, 5 days, and they just completely cave in and backpedal the entire thing. The subscription doesn't go away, but they completely backpedal and they totally reinstate all. They're going to sell WEP again. They're going to sell individual plugins. They're going to sell bundles. They're going to sell them perpetually. The subscription is still the only way to get this crazy extra value add thing that they're selling, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's still available if you want it, you know, but they're not turning their back on everybody. And
okay. That's a better solution.
Yeah.
Clearly. Like they should, they can have both.
This never should. I mean, this is brain dead.
Yeah. Read the room.
Unbelievably stupid to say we're just canceling all that. Like, whoever was in that meeting, fired. Like, and these guys have been in the music industry since it became digital. Like, there's no excuse for this. They're still doing business. The day before this happened, they were in it talking to people. So there's no excuse. It's not like they lost touch with their customers 5 years ago and then did this. You know what I mean? It's not like they became irrelevant and then tried a desperate move. It doesn't make sense to me. So anyway, so they've completely flipped back on it. YouTube, the thing I get out of YouTube is I learned a bunch of people. I learned that I don't care about at least 15 YouTubers' opinions. Like I learned what's true about those people because their rants were like frothing at the mouth instead of explanatory. And then when Waves doubled back on it, there was a bunch of things. The headline was like, too little too late, Waves. Oh man, unfollow. Fuck you. You're awful. So here's what Waves did though. They double back. They say, we're going to sell perpetual again. We're going to sell update plan. Everything's going to go back to normal. The subscription is just a product ad. And all of our plugins are now $30 individually, except asterisk on like four of them that are kind of a special case, including one that's like licensed from something else. So that used to be kind of the sale price that things would occasionally come down to if you were lucky.
Nice. Okay.
So now everything is permanently $29.99. The situation with Waves is better than it's ever has been. It's definitely not too little too late. There was like 4 days that you couldn't buy your Waves update plan. And guess what? No big software development happened in those 4 days. You were fine. Your stuff still worked. So anyway, I talked entirely too long about that. But if you care about the Waves thing.
I've seen this going around, but I was like, I don't use or know anything about plugins. So I was not about to get into it, but
They listened and they actually made their product stack better because of it.
Good.
Because now everybody has the option exists. If you're a new person, you could get into one of those like 100 or 250 a year plans and have everything. And
but also,
you could have
like,
it
that's
for
not
a month and then decide that actually I only love these 10 plugins. That's only going to cost me this much for forever.
Yeah. Okay. You know? I was just going to say that does not appeal to me at all because as someone who's new to all of that, I would look for like one plugin that is going to be like that everyone loves this. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to get started with kind of aspect and like teach myself how to do it, how to do plugins, how to work with, add that to my workflow. And for a one-time $30 thing, that is a pretty low risk.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm
but if I hit the website in those 4 days and was like, it's like 100 and something a year, never mind. Like I would immediately leave. You know, I would go
everywhere else. You can't buy them individually. It was so weird. So weird.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Well, that's all right. So that's the thing. Waves. Yay. All right. Tone control. What are you going to do?
Hell if I know.
All right. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. And once again, we have Patreon for people who want to support the show. We have Discord for people who just want a little bit of extra. I kind of feel like I said those in the wrong order. Discord's totally free community. Get in
there. Strike
that,
reverse it.
if you want to support the show and what we do, then you can add yourself to our Patreon at patreon.com/ The Tone Control. So anyway, yeah. And please do. We don't park at any of that. And it goes right back into the community. And there are special things planned for this year because we're going to be 10 this year. So by the end of the, by come the fall, we're planning something special. And it's in the,
hell yeah, we are.
It's the planning has begun. All right. Well, and then, so then we'll give thanks to the patrons and call it a night or a morning as the case may be. The patrons, the glorious, glorious patrons are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, Steve Huffman, Justin's Cochlea, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks Podcast, Mako Guitars, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Doug Christ of 37 Effects, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, Eric, for...
Justin's Cochlea, glad you're here. Glad you're working.
Thank you for helping me hear the world. Glad you're finally... Actually, you know what? Glad you're finally working again and not just sitting down on the job, you dick. Because that was a scary couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass, Justin's Cochlea.
All right. See you, nerds, in a couple of weeks.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Oh, wait. Do we have a hangout to announce? Did we pick a day?
Yeah, it's like the 20th, isn't it?
Something like that.
The music's over.
The music's over. See you later. Shit. See you later.